Welcome to another episode of Transcontinental Overload. I'm Stephanie, your host, and I have a bit of a different episode for you today. First of all, full disclosure, I don't have anybody new to talk to today. I had an interview lined up last week, but it fell through, and that's okay. You know, people are struggling with all that is going on these days, and I'm including myself in this too. And so I said, no problem, let's just do it another time. It's fine. But then I've just been pretty busy doing other things other than the podcast, and my daughter started school and it's all online this year, and so I had to spend some time dealing with that and making sure everything was working and she was getting what she needed. And then realized that it's been 2 weeks since the last episode came out, and I didn't like that, so didn't feel good, and so I wanted to do something. And also, it's been 6 months since I started the podcast, and I thought that's a good opportunity to do a little half anniversary edition. And I was looking through my podcast notes and ideas, and I sent a few of my usual pre-interview questions to some people who are going to be interviewed in the coming weeks, because that's usually what I do to get to know people before we have our conversations. And I have a whole questionnaire and a few prompts. And then I thought, I've actually never done this myself. And then I sat down and started answering some of those questions. And then I thought, I could just have an interview with myself. I did ask my family at first to take on the role of the interviewer, but I begged, I pleaded. But of course, they refused point blank. And so I decided to do it myself. But with a twist, I am doing the whole thing in English and in German. I really, really, really miss speaking German. And I think it's because I didn't get my usual fix this summer. I mean, I speak German every day with my kids, of course, but they're teenagers and they're not really around that much, and they don't always speak German with me anyway. And then, of course, my parents, 2-3 times a week sometimes on FaceTime, but it's not the same. And I feel this real, really strong urge to use my mother tongue. So for the German speakers or German language learners, you can just completely ignore the rest of this episode and download the next one. See you there. Let's see. I have never recorded myself in German before. Anyway, here is today's interview with myself. Okay, my friend, you currently live in Texas, but tell us your story in a nutshell. Who you are, and how and why and when you got to where you are now. So, I was born in Germany, in Bavaria. I studied languages in Munich and got a degree that's equivalent to a Bachelor of Arts, a BA. And then I moved to the UK at the age of 24 to get a master's degree. The plan was to just spend about 9 months in England at the University of Kent at Canterbury, and then go back to Germany and my boyfriend and my life there. I had applied to a few unis that summer, I think it was July, and so I applied for the following year, the autumn, the following year. But then I got a letter from the University of Kent at the end of August, offering me a place that very year in October. And so I didn't really have a lot of time to think about this. So I said yes, and off I went. And then things took a bit of a different turn. I came back to Munich for a break. I remember this sometime in the spring, I think. I was still in the middle of my studies and writing my dissertation. And One of my teachers at the Munich School had also been to the University of Kent, and she was so thrilled that I was there, that I had got a place there. And she said, come and tell us about your experience there and what studying in England is like. And so I did. And I remember she said to me as I left, she said, beware of the English men. They look very harmless, but they're not. And of course, I was like, yeah, whatever. Anyway, so long story short, I met this English guy and bloke, I should say, and decided not to go back to Germany as planned. And that was 22 years ago. So we finished our studies, moved to London, found jobs, and then decided to get married, moved out of London again, had two daughters, and I was very much at home in England and very kind of, yeah, that was my life now. And but my husband was always really keen to try living abroad. He actually wanted to go to Germany at some point, but I wasn't ready for that. And so then he was offered a job in San Francisco 11 years ago, and we decided to go for it. We lived in Silicon Valley for a while, and then we moved to Austin, Texas, 4.5 years ago, again for a job. But I decided I did not get on with Austin. It was too much. That move just threw me, and I wanted to move back to the UK with the girls, while my husband split his time between Austin and Kent. We went back to the same house that we'd lived in before. And that was very exhausting and not really what we expected or I expected. And after a year, we decided to move back to Austin. And that was just over 2 years ago. And here we are. Now, who knows what's next? That whole moving back and forth is a very long and complicated story and saga. And I won't go into it now. Next question. What expectations did you have of your new country when you first moved to the US? What surprised you? What did you expect? And kind of like, yep, I knew that. And what did you think was true about the Americans, but now you know is not? Okay, so what surprised me? I was a very kind of European and very British in that sense of Americans and American language, and it's just not as good as the UK. I was never one of those people who was completely and utterly in love with the US. I knew a lot of people had gone for exchange years during high school and just loved the US. For me, it was always England, and the US, I'd been there and traveled there, but it was never my sort of place. And so I was really surprised by how interested and educated and just genuine Americans were, because you have that idea of Americans being superficial and not knowing where London is or Berlin or anything like that. And it actually turned out not to be true at all. And I know there's a vast majority of people in this country who are not very well educated, but I was quite blown away by the level of education. And just people knew so much about not only the history of their own country, but also European history. And they had traveled and been to places and knew so much stuff. And I almost felt ashamed at how little I knew about my own country. Something that I did expect was, and again, it's that being superficial, being super friendly, and everything's awesome all the time. And yet it's very true in your daily life. People are usually just super smiley and everything's always great. And there is not much substance behind that, but it makes for a really nice day-to-day tone. It's just people smiling and saying, hey, how is it going? It's nice. And I love that people talk to each other and talk, you know, just you can be somewhere and someone will strike up a conversation. You can't help it. And it's just nice and innocuous. And not, you don't have to feel like it's nosy or anything like that. So what I thought was true about the Americans, and now I know is not, I think it's the fact that they are actually incredibly polite. I always assumed, and that's the, again, the stereotype, that the Americans are just loud and obnoxious and rude. And it's not true at all. Of course, you find exceptions everywhere. And yes, on the whole, they are louder than, say, English people and Germans. But they're really polite. And I would even say way more polite than British people. And that's something. And even in the children, there's a big emphasis on manners, of course, down here in the South. That's particularly true. But in general, people just try to be courteous and pleasant. And that's really nice. And I really didn't expect that. Next question. Have you observed something that would never happen in the other countries that you've lived in, but is very normal in your new country? Ha. Lots of things. Let's pick a few. Cheese as an appetizer. You'd never, ever see that in, I guess, the whole of Europe. I don't know. Maybe I'm at some breakfast buffet style scenario, but not really. In the US, so many times we've gone to someone's house and there's a platter of cheese as an appetizer. So I don't really understand it because it fills you up so much, but hey, it's different. One thing that is totally normal here and not at all in the UK or in Germany are Christmas cards with no message on them, or not a personal message on them. So Americans love sending these family Christmas cards where the whole family is wearing matching jumpers, or sometimes it's a holiday photo, vacation photo where that was taken earlier in the year. But a lot of people have them taken professionally, and then the card just reads, it's all printed on it, and it just reads something like Merry Merry or Happy Holidays or something politically correct. And the first few I got, the first winter, I got a few of those cards and I kept turning them over and looking in the envelope to see if there was anything else. But that's it. And no one expects anything else. And Germans are not that much into sending Christmas cards anyway. And if they do, then it's very much a handwritten personal note on that. And in the UK, you do send a lot of Christmas cards, but you always write at least Merry Christmas, love from so-and-so in them. So yeah, it's very strange. But Americans love their professional cards, and very often other occasions too, like graduation. In fact, high school graduation, I think, is the big one. College graduation too, but we've had a few cards through the door by people saying that, you know, that their child had graduated from high school. And a lot of people go to a lot of trouble and get professional portraits done, family portraits, sometimes for Easter as well. And they like to pick a specific location and then decide what outfits they're going to wear and color coordinate and all sorts of things. So it's a very popular thing here. And it's not something Germans or English people would even think of. I would say in Germany or the UK, it'd be like, it's a bit kind of showy-offy. It's very strange. But here it's completely normal. And they're lovely cards too. Next question. Can you tell us something funny or embarrassing that happened to you? Maybe a misunderstanding based on cultural or language differences? Of course I can. And I can think of two incidents. If you want to hear the one funny story is the potty story, which I talk about in my very first introduction episode, so you can go back to that. I'm not going to tell it again here. When I first lived in the UK, so I spent a year at university and then moved to London, and then I think it was at my first job. So I'd been in the country just over a year, maybe 15 months or something like that. And I had a laptop that was still under warranty and it needed fixing, and I had to call customer services, and I did that from work. So we were in the office, everyone's busy, on the phones, on the computers. And so I called customer services and they were so useless. And it was just, and I got so impatient, and it was like they just needed to do something. And it was, I thought it was quite simple, but they made it, yeah, it was just horrendous. So I just kind of told them what I thought and that I wasn't very happy with the service and blah, blah, blah. And I must have been very German and direct, and I don't know. Anyway, when I put the phone down at the end of the call, the whole office was silent and everyone was staring at me. And I was like, what happened? And then they were all kind of grinning, and then some looked petrified. And my boss just said, yeah, I wouldn't want to be in that person's shoes right now. So I kind of ignored the British rules of politeness and, you know, not really saying what you want and that kind of thing. Yeah. But I still remember everyone staring like, oh my God, I'm so scared of you. Another incident was in the US when we hadn't been in California that long, and we were invited to a dinner party, and it was one of the kids' friends' parents invited us, and they had other people there, and they were not English native speakers, but they'd lived in the US for like 20 years or something. And so we were just making chit-chat and trying to kind of get to know them and talking. And I remember this woman sat opposite my husband, and he was just being himself, an English guy meeting new people, and was laughing, making jokes. There was a lot of banter, or he thought was banter. And this woman just grew more and more quiet. And I mean, they'd been chatting all evening. And all of a sudden, she kind of slammed her hands on the table and stood up and said, I'm not doing this any longer. I'm not going to be insulted anymore. And stormed out crying. And the whole table fell silent. And again, and Stuart was like, what happened? And then I got up and I thought, okay, I think she just didn't get the banter. So I followed her outside, and it just turned out that she basically didn't understand anything he was saying. So she thought she did, but had, you know, struggled with his accent, which is a Southeast English accent. And a lot of Americans actually struggle with it and think it's Australian. Anyway, so she hadn't really understood what he was saying, and what she had heard was that he was kind of repeating things she said, but said them in a different accent, and she just thought he was making fun of her. It was very dramatic, and apparently she'd had a very bad day or week. But anyway, next question. What is the most annoying thing about Americans and their country? The most annoying thing? I would say politics. In this country, politics, the partisanship, the extremes, it's crazy, it's insane, it doesn't make any sense to me. Obviously, this year it's particularly crazy, or the last 4 years have been particularly crazy, and maybe annoying isn't quite the right word for this. It's way more than annoying. The other thing is guns, but again, politics when it comes to guns and people being obsessed with guns. Again, not really annoying, more terrifying. One thing I find very annoying is air conditioning. Yes, I live in Texas, and we need air conditioning. It's on about 10 months of the year. And we need it. It's humid. It's brutally hot in the summer, and I couldn't live without it. But there is a general obsession with air conditioning, or just an understanding that air conditioning has to be on at all times. And I remember being in California, and the weather was absolutely lovely, and people would be inside or eating in restaurants inside with air conditioning on. And I never saw the point of that. And to me, I hate it. I'd rather open windows. And again, granted, here in Texas, it's impossible to do that. But it doesn't have to be on half of the time that it is. And people are, I don't know, they just get so used to it, and it's not necessary. Not to that extent. The other thing I find annoying is that it's so car-centric here, and everyone is driving everywhere, even if it's just short distances. Such a cliche. But it's cities are built with cars in mind, and that it shows. I wish it was easier and safer to walk and cycle. What do you absolutely love about your new country? I absolutely love national parks. I think it's hands down the best thing about this country. It's just that this country is so vast and varied and beautiful, and the national parks everywhere, and they're fantastic. And it's just that sense of space that you get, and wide open spaces, the big skies. I love all that. And it doesn't get so crowded. And that also shows when you go for winter sports, when you go to the mountains. And I sometimes think I don't ever want to go snowboarding in the Alps again. It's so much better here. The other thing I really love is the American positivity. They're very hardworking and can do and don't really complain that much. I know I'm generalizing again, but people are very used to just getting things done and without moaning and relying on themselves and their community instead of the government. What government? I hear you say, yes, I know, it's just so ridiculous. And obviously there's no real social support system, at least not at the moment. So people are just, they know it's better to rely on your own strength and your neighbors. Because community is the other thing that's really big here, and I like that. And people, it's such an ingrained sense of helping out and volunteering and supporting each other. I also like how you can ask for anything in this country in a very direct way without a big problem. There's this mantra of anything is possible, and that directness is actually pretty German in a way, but it's done very differently. And so if you're at a restaurant, for example, you can ask for the dish to be altered to your needs. So if you want chicken instead of beef, for example, you can just ask for that, or the salad dressing on the side, or anything like that is perfectly normal, and no one will bat an eyelid and just try and give you what you want and accommodate your wishes. And if they can't do it, if it's impossible to substitute something, then they'll tell you, but they'll tell you in a very polite and friendly way. Whereas in Germany, I think you'd people will just say, no, can't do that, and show you their annoyance with you, and just that they think you're an idiot and how dare you. And in the UK, you'd probably rather die of embarrassment than ask for anything to be different or out of the ordinary. And if you did ask, then you'd have to apologize profusely. And it's just not done. Things might have changed in the last 10 years, but I don't think so. It's just a very cultural thing. I actually read a very interesting article a while ago on Medium, and it's not about the cultural differences as such, but the author, who's an English woman who moved from London to San Francisco, she talks about going into Pret-a-Manger, which is a British lunch food chain, very popular and very nice. There are actually a few on the East Coast in the States as well. Anyway, she uses that as an example She works in the digital services industry. So she talks about how in order to eliminate points of friction in a transaction, you can improve customer relationships. Anyway, you should read the full article to get the exact context. It's a very good one, and I'll put the link in the show notes. I'll read a few lines from the article because it's just so spot on. When in London, I would float into Pret, select one of a limited range of sandwiches, and tap my payment card before gliding out. I barely had to speak to a human, and I liked it that way. Back at my desk, I would pick out the olives from my sandwich, because they're disgusting. Don't hate me. Imagine my reaction when I settled into life in San Francisco, only to realize that if I want a sandwich, I must stand in line at a deli. There, I will absorb a long and complex menu, several choices of cheese, roasted meats, and the obligatory olives. Then, I must speak my sandwich order to a total stranger and tell them that I don't like olives. To many British readers, this will be anxiety-inducing. Slow service and needless human interaction. The ideal candidate for service design, or so I thought. It took time for me to learn that I had it all wrong. It isn't friction, it's getting what you want. In Britain, I was so delighted not to have to speak to a human that I would suffer the fact that the actual product I paid for meet my needs because it was riddled with olives. The US is the home of saying what you need and expecting to get it. Time spent talking to a human so that you get the exact service you need is often considered time well spent. This principle applies to most complex local services. The goal should not be to eliminate human interaction. It should be to actively facilitate it. It's less isolating, more connected, and more likely to result in a higher quality outcome when humans are involved. And I found that to be so true. It's really what I've observed, and that kind of explains that Americans are very happy to talk to you at all times. Next question. What do you miss the most, and what do you miss the least from your other countries? Let's start with the UK. I really miss British humour. Kind of self-deprecating wit, sarcasm, not to take themselves too seriously, banter, just that general tone. And I really miss London. I love London so much, and I really, really miss London, and especially this year because we couldn't go, and normally I get my London fix. I also miss the English countryside. I just love that whole, you know, Cotswolds with the, you know, the hedgerows and fields, and it's so lovely on a sunny day. And also the seaside, it's so varied and absolutely stunning. I don't miss people complaining all the time and being negative and moaning. The English are very good at that, although not as good as the Germans, so maybe it's not really the thing about England. Maybe I should save that up for Germany. I also don't miss that island mentality that sometimes comes across, the sense that anything that comes from another country is inherently inferior or suspicious. That goes hand in hand with the reluctance to speak or learn foreign languages, and because everyone speaks English, don't they? And so why bother? And that sometimes just gets on my nerves, because people, you're missing out on so many cultural nuances and so much interesting stuff. I also really do not miss the long, wet English winter. I really don't. Talking about Germany, I've missed my hometown and that whole area because it's absolutely beautiful. Bavaria is a very, very nice part of Germany. picture perfect landscapes with lakes and mountains and castles, beer gardens. It's very, very beautiful. And swimming in the lake there where I grew up on a lovely summer's day with a view of the Alps is the best feeling ever. So I just, I get all emotional thinking about that right now. And I also miss speaking my language and hearing my language, and in particular hearing people speak with a Bavarian accent. Yeah, so that's something I miss. Sometimes I do miss the slower pace of life in general, that people seem to pay more attention to downtime and relaxing and having having time to just be and spend time with friends and not rush everywhere, not be consumed by being busy and work. Shops are still shut on Sundays in Germany, for example, and I really like that. And I miss German tap water. It's just so good because it tastes fresh and healthy and not like the stuff that comes out of a tap here in the US. What I don't miss, and I said this before, is the German negativity and complaining about things and just those kind of those faces, those unhappy faces. And there's that German tendency to be very critical, very judgmental even. That's why they're often perceived as rude by English and American people. Germans are very opinionated in general, and they'll just tell you what they think without being asked sometimes, or very often actually. So there's a tendency to criticize first and then maybe say something vaguely positive, but it's very different to the American tendency to cheer and praise just to get something started. So when a German actually praises something, then it's really, you know, it's really good. But sometimes it's just, especially initially, it comes across as very critical and negative. And I've been away from the country so long now that I struggle with it. Okay, next question. What have you found helpful in adjusting to your new country? What tips or advice do you have for someone planning to move countries? I think the most important thing is that you realize that you have to do everything. So you move somewhere, you have to go out and meet people. No one's going to come to you. Signing up for things helps. Volunteering helps. If you have kids, help out at the school. Organize events, join in with things. And because Americans are so used to doing that anyway, there will be volunteer networks, there will be everything in place, and you just have to ask and say, hey, I'm here, I want to help. Also, of course, sports, join teams, that kind of stuff. I also really enjoyed finding other expats, so that helps. And I mean, California, that was very easy because there were so many families just like my own one. And yeah, it's nice to have people with a shared experience. In general, I would say just be curious. Don't be afraid of asking people. Ask lots and lots of questions. Americans in general are very open and very happy to talk and help and talk about their country. They won't find it intrusive at all. And Also, the other thing, so yeah, be open, proactive, and be realistic about maintaining friendships, because you will lose some. Of course, you'll make new ones along the way, which is a nice thing about expat living. But just be realistic that you can't maintain everything at the same level, and just make sure that you have those few and cherish them and make time for people whenever you can and in whatever way you can. So really, when you are visiting, or just try and get people to visit you. That's another thing that really, really helps, to have family and friends come visit and see where you live and enjoy that with you. It's a shared experience, shared memories, that kind of thing. Okay, and to finish the episode, I'd like to include something that's maybe a recipe or a tradition that you could share, something that you do when you miss your other countries and you want to create that connection. So we, obviously being a, I would say, tricultural household now, we have a beautiful mix of English and German Christmas traditions. I've written about those on the blog before, and it's just totally normal for us to have all these different things happen over the Christmas period. And other than that, I think I really love baking German cakes, and I'm actually making a marble cake next week because it's my dad's birthday. And so we do this thing where we make the cake and then eat the cake while we're on FaceTime, which is really nice. It kind of feels like we're close to them. And they actually, this year, they did the same thing. They made a video for my daughter's birthday, and they'd made a cake for that, and they were eating cake on the video. We also really love a proper British roast dinner on a Sunday with chicken and roast potatoes and parsnips and the whole shebang. Our kids have slightly ruined this whole thing now because they both became vegetarian during our time in the US. But I think our pets are very happy to share. The other thing we do is we watch a lot of British TV shows and movies if we can, and some German ones too. And sometimes when I really miss the German language, I even watch some crappy German TV on the internet just to hear the language, because it's changed quite a lot since I left. I don't think Germans are that aware of it, but I noticed the difference, and it helps me stay connected. Okay, so that's it from me for today, my little experiment. My next episode will be the usual format, an actual conversation with an actual person. And I have a few very interesting people lined up, so it might be a while until the next interview is ready, but I'll get there, I promise. If you're interested in the German version of this, then just hop on over to the next episode. I'll release these two one after the other. But I guess you've had quite enough of me and my ramblings and rantings. For now, stay safe, stay at home as much as you can, keep wearing your mask, be kind, and see you next time.